You're listening to the Lost Chill podcast with Katie and Kimmy. For years now, I have had the pleasure of listening to the wit, banter, and pure joy from these two, and now I invite you to share in the delight of listening to them discuss the books they're currently reading. Whether you are a fellow dedicated bibliophile or simply wish you had more time to read, you will love hearing the insight and discussions around the stories they dive into. So grab a cup of coffee or pour a glass of wine and let's jump on in. Katie and Kimmy, take it away.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Lost Chill podcast. I'm Katie.
And I'm Kimmy. And we are your bibliophile book lovers who love to talk.
That is a fair statement.
A redundant statement, but yeah, bibliophile fair. Book lovers. You know,
it's fine. I may have sounded a little bit morose while we're starting this episode off. I've been dreading this episode all day. I'm not gonna lie. Kimmy, would you like to introduce what we're gonna talk about tonight?
Are we just gonna hop into it and not catch up?
We can catch up, but I thought that we...
No literary foreplay, if you will.
No, we can have some literary foreplay, but...
You just wanna
get... I'm nervous! I'm scared. I'm scared for lots of things right now. Feelings. You gave some foreshadowing to me at lunch, which made me.
It was more than I intended.
That was a lot of foreshadowing. And I'm scared.
Are your nails deep spaced right now?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
They are.
Nice.
I've been doing a lot of yard work. And so they were in a desperate state the other night. And I, as soon as I could, I was like, I need to get my nails done right this second. In that voice and everything. And
get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
I lost my baby. My baby was pretty long.
I can't show it. How does one show their thumb? I broke this nail yesterday. For reference, here is my other thumb.
Oh, my.
And it's so dumb. Oops. I don't
know. Wow. You... broke a lot.
Well, I also might have just... So, I will say my mistake was probably that I cut it what I thought was past the break with the polish still on. And so I think polish does protect it a lot, but I didn't. I just wanted to fix it, and so I probably cut deeper than I needed, I think, honestly. But I hate it. I've had two big breaks. One time was after I told you how great I was at my nails and how they never broke.
Remember that.
And then I went and I literally it's a weird up handle thing on my recliner that I'm sitting in right now. I just pulled it and broke a nail. This one, my thumb, I was closing our umbrella on a hot summer day. And I don't even know how it happened.
Oh man.
Like, it's the most random things. And they're so long. I hit them all the time.
Yeah.
It's like being a pregnant lady when you're not used to your stomach and you just start trying to turn the corner in the kitchen and just whacking it on things.
Yeah.
Like, it's all the time. So the fact that it's the most random things that actually does break my nails.
Yeah. Mine was some yard work related injuries. So I chopped the rest of them down to match because I couldn't stand having just one that was really that much shorter than the rest. So they all pretty much got the chop.
I will likely get the rest of these bad boys down a little bit, probably just to make it less dramatic of a difference, but they are not going this short.
That is very short. It is a dramatic difference.
I know.
I'm womp, so sorry womp. For your loss.
Thank you. Thank you for understanding.
I do understand.
Are you reading anything during this trying time of gardening and summer fun in your life?
Yeah, I'm reading a couple things.
What are you reading?
My dear friend Stephen King came out with a new book recently.
What's that one called?
Well, that is a great question. Let's see what it is called. It's a collection of short stories, which I absolutely love. I just got home from dinner with some friends, and I was talking with my husband on the way home about this book, because he is also a huge Stephen King fan, and he's actually reading in order all of Stephen King's works. And
Wow.
yeah, he took that on himself. Stephen King's new book is called You Like It Darker, and it's a collection of short stories. And I'm listening it to it on audiobook, and it's really good so far. But I do have one complaint about my dear friend, Mr. King.
What's that?
It's really pissing me off. It's really
Oh.
pissing me off. Ever since the pandemic in 2020, every single book that has come out of his has mentioned in some way, shape, or form the pandemic. And it is really getting under my skin. And I don't know why. I'm like, just let it die, dude. Just leave it in the past. It's behind us. And I was trying to kind of work through it with my husband on our way home. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, why does he do it? I don't think it's for shock factor. I don't think it's anything political. I truly just think that it's his way now of telling time, of giving a timeline, because that's how it is always referenced in his material. And it is, well, the pandemic was, and I'm paraphrasing here, the pandemic was 2 years ago, and when we were doing this in the pandemic, and
So
I
it's his
truly,
BC or AD.
yeah, but it's annoying,
That
because I'm
is
like,
annoying.
just, nobody looks back on that time fondly. Everybody wants it behind them. So just leave it back there.
I
Doesn't.
can't believe that actually happened.
I know that too.
Like, even just coming up in my memories, so my beloved Caitlin is an avid runner and she's doing races like every weekend these days. And it came up in my memories recently because I think it was in the time frame. But also every time she runs a race, I just think about it, how she had signed up for, was it a half marathon?
The Disney half
And
marathon.
she had to miss it because of the pandemic. And so she still ran that full length because she's crazy. And me and Lindsay wanted to cheer her on. So we freaking went and waited in the parking lot of our favorite chicken wing place.
Yes, it
And
was amazing.
we cheered her on. We socially distanced and ate chicken nuggets, like
In our lawn
tailgating
chairs.
in a parking lot. Like it was
Yeah.
awful and also kind of amazing.
It was very amazing. Like, I definitely, my medal rack is like right over here, and it's still on there. It's one of my favorite medals because Kimmy and Lindsay made me a medal. It was a lanyard with a note in it. And it was the most amazing thing ever. And it lives on my medal rack from all of my races. So yeah. Stephen King is still my favorite author. Don't get me wrong. Like, the stories that he's telling in this book is really good. It reminds me of Twilight Zone. So there's some good ones. There was like a UFO one, which I really enjoyed. But it's just a different vibe. It's not like his typical stuff, but it is his typical short story stuff. So it's kind of a hodgepodge of different genres, which I love. But yeah, just leave the pandemic in the past, bro. That's all. And then so that's my audiobook. And then I am reading, finally reading a book that has intimidated me. And I've wanted to read all at the same time for a very long time, and it's A Little Life. So,
Did your daughter read that ever? Or did she start it and then never finish it?
correct. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I have no interest in that one, but
I know
I'm
you
glad
don't.
you're loving it.
It's
You'll have
really
to
good.
tell me. I've heard it's called like trauma porn and like
I haven't gotten anything traumatic yet.
that it's, well, because I hear it's supposed to, like, it was supposed to be like a literary ombre effect where it starts pretty light and then gets darker and darker and darker.
I can certainly see that happening because I'm about 100 pages in, and it's certainly starting to get a little bit more heavy, but it's still on the lighter side of heavy, if that makes sense.
Stand by. I think the children are talking to each other, but not me, so that's good.
Oh, that's allowed,
Guess.
I guess. So yeah, what are you reading?
I am currently reading nothing. Well, I just finished a book today.
What did you finish today?
It was called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
What is this nonfiction? Like a.
Nope.
Oh. Why?
So I feel like it's something that just came up that other people recommended to me in the Bookstagram world when I was looking like, I love sci-fi and dystopia, and it is pretty dystopian sci-fi for sure. I didn't realize that it is very much from like a George Orwell era,
Okay.
just like time frame. Like this dude was born in 1928 and he died in the 80s. I didn't realize that. So it's like
Oh.
one of the old school sci-fis.
Okay.
And it's basically that Earth has become almost uninhabitable, but not quite. But they're trying to get as many people to move to Mars as they can. If your IQ is not high enough, you're not eligible. And you also has to like go on a voluntary thing. And part of the incentive to get people to move to Mars is having basically robot helpers. I don't know. I don't know. And
Like
then
Rosie from the Jetsons?
kind of, yeah, I guess, but it didn't ever go into that. It was all very much on Earth. But then these robot androids are getting so advanced that you can barely tell the difference of them from humans. And so basically the story is a hierarchy, like kind of, well, there is a hierarchy perspective that we get, but it's basically humans are the top, animals are pretty worshipped too, like but they're almost extinct. And so it is like the keeping up with the Joneses to have a live animal, but most people can't afford that, so they have fake robot animals. And so the main character has an electric sheep. So animals are tip top, humans are up there, and then the low IQ people who cannot move to Mars, known as chicken heads. I don't even know what to do with this information, but they're like third on the totem pole, and then humanoid robots called androids are bottom tier. But they're literally making the androids so human-like these days that part of the people's jobs, like one of them is a bounty hunter, and it's his perspective we're getting that he's going and trying to kill Andes, which is short for androids that are posing as humans and causing a risk. And it is just, I don't really understand what the point of it was yet. I need to ruminate on it. I didn't hate it. It was semi-captivating, but it was also like very weird.
When was this actually written? In the 80s, or is that when he died?
That's when he died, so it was probably like we're in like the 70s almost or something.
How did it compare to like 1984?
Oh, well, I love 1984, so that's no comparison, baby. You already know. Sorry, I'm Travis Kelce now.
Apparently.
All right now.
All right now. Okay.
I need time with that.
Okay.
Like, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was not at all what I was expecting. I will say the one thing that probably lowered it a notch or two for me is with a title like Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? You know how you look for the title in the book and you get excited when you're like, oh, that's where the
Yeah.
title comes from. I was waiting for that the whole time.
Oh,
It
and you
didn't
never got
come.
it.
No. No.
Well, do they? Do you
I don't
know?
know.
It
No.
didn't even like allude to it?
No.
Interesting.
No, there were lots of fake robot animals that were found. One time, someone that he thought was human, who turned out to be an android, she had all these animals he thought was ex she thought he thought was extinct, but they were actually robots. He had a goat, and she killed it. This girl killed it, so she didn't care about animals. So part of the way that they would test to see if these if people were robots or humans was to test for empathy, because apparently they could make them so realistic that it could do anything else, but a lot of it would be to their culture with animal things. And so they would like test their reaction time and movement to see like, okay, like you're going on a date with a guy and he's got a stag head on the wall and a bearskin rug and all these things, and you're supposed to like, if you're human in this culture, supposed to be like so alarmed by that. But if you're an android, you're like, so why am I on a date with this guy? Like, where did I meet him?
What year is this supposed to be set in?
Even know. I don't know. Let me look at things with this, because it was a trip. Let me tell you that. It was a trip. And I don't know.
It
Sometimes.
sounds like a trip. Sounds like a messy trip.
By Philip K. Dick, and it's got a 4.09 rating. Oh, so it's supposed to be in January 2021.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah. So let me see. That's not accurate. So, because it says published date, but I think it had to be a reprint because it's like 2008. But it won a literary award, the Nubella Award for Best Novel in 1968.
Oh, man. 1968.
I know.
So he was writing 50 years into the future, give or take.
Yeah. And he thought that all animals, well, most animals would be extinct or rare so that they would be a hot commodity. So hot that people would make very realistic fake ones because they could not stand the thought of their neighbors thinking they didn't have animals.
Tamagotchis. We lived
That
through
like
that.
even like people carried around like prescription bottles that were empty so that if they saw a spider, they could capture it and keep it so they could have something living because it was so rare.
This is all very strange.
It was very strange, but I kind of liked it, but I don't know. I don't know. What else? Oh, so let me look at what else I'm reading, what I'm going to start reading. I think I'm going to start reading Funny Story, an
Oh,
audiobook.
yeah.
I'm going to start reading Table for Two, which is a collection of sto short stories by Amor Towles. I think we talked about it,
Yes,
the
we
one
did.
that has his novella.
So I tried recently to read A Gentleman in Moscow. Just could not. I was
Because
listening.
it was
So
slower because of the quotation marks.
I actually looked in the physical copy at Barnes and Noble that does have quotation marks. I can confirm. But I was listening to it on audiobook. And it was one of those audiobooks where I was like zoning in and out. And I was like, what's going on? I could not keep up. It was just not keeping my attention.
I loved that one. I don't know why.
No.
Like, it was so fascinating to me.
I'm not going to completely give up on it. I don't even think I got that far in it, honestly.
I think Sam liked it, but Mel didn't. It is a TV show now.
It is? No.
Is it out yet? I don't know.
Yeah, I got like maybe quarter of a way in. Pretty long, too.
Really
Oh,
interesting.
looks on audio
Yeah, so it
premise
looks
on.
like it came out on Paramount Plus. Oh yeah, I remember that because
Used to get Paramount Plus.
I maybe bought Paramount Plus just so I could watch the Chiefs games to include the Super Bowl. Who am I to fight the alchemy? Okay.
You can't.
So, but then I did cancel it right before A Gentleman in Moscow came out, but I might get it back. Who knows? I don't watch a lot of shows or movies, but when there are books I love that come out, I do want to watch Dark Matter, and I would love to watch A Gentleman in Moscow. But I would also like, in theory, to watch A Handmaid's Tale, and I kind of do, but that's been going on for like a year now, so even though I like it, it's just not enough to keep my attention.
Yeah. I refuse to get another subscription service. So I will
How
never
many do
have
you have?
all of them besides Paramount Plus. I also recently cut the cord of cable. I don't think I told you that.
Wow.
Get rid of Comcast.
That's impressive. We
I really
only have Disney Plus, Hulu, but I feel like those just go together.
I do.
Amazon Prime. I think that's it. We don't have Netflix. We don't have anything else.
Netflix, Apple TV, Hulu. I did get rid of Disney Plus because nobody watches it. Yeah, seriously, nobody watches it in this house. Although I
You
was
know
told
that's
the
what
other
the
day.
Eras Tour is on, right?
Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
Oh, I get my money's worth out of that. I
No.
mean, I felt like I got my money's worth out of Netflix for Rep Tour, but my husband still took that away.
We also have Fubo now for live TV.
Bless you.
Thank you. But Comcast tried to raise my monthly bill to $300 per month. And I said, kindly fuck off. And we cut the cord. I was done. That
Wow.
was when I was done. I need to go return my equipment because they're going to charge me.
Do that. Remind
Remember to do that.
yourself.
I do. I have a
I
few
don't.
things I need to remind myself of.
How long has it been since I've had cable? Probably years.
Really, it's been
I
a
don't
very
think my
long time.
children even know what live TV is.
That's awesome.
It's been years.
Completely different than our childhood,
I know.
where you had to run back for the commercials.
Oh my gosh, and you knew what time your show was, so you had to be
Yes.
available then.
And you couldn't record anything, you couldn't watch it after the fact. I would die.
I know.
Although, there's a basketball game on right now that I really want to be watching, but recording is way more important right now.
I
Sometimes
will
it's
also say that, like, for some of the shows, because, like, new episodes would only come out once a week, but they would almost keep the show every night at the same time slot. Like, I didn't know that like shows had actual plot lines and like went from one episode to the next. Like, it took me until I was a grown up and got Netflix to like figure out how well Friends did flow.
Oh,
Because,
really?
yeah, because I would watch it all the time, like in the afternoon and then the evening and then the new episode and then like 5 seasons ago. And so it was just all over the place. And so it like made no sense to me. Like, who knew that Ross and Rachel only dated like one season? Like, it was just crazy. And I feel like that was for every TV show because I never only watched the new episode, so it always got crazy.
That's funny.
Yeah.
We only had cable once I got into high school. So like I truly like even as a teenager, like to keep my like just to not be bored out of my brains. And if I wanted to watch TV, I would watch like PBS and I'd be watching Wishbone like at 14 years old.
Wishbone
I fucking love
at 14
Wishbone.
years old.
Shut up. Don't judge me.
I love Wishbone.
I was so excited to get MTV when I was a freshman in
Oh
high
my
school.
gosh. Like,
Oh
it
my
is like
gosh.
core memories. I used to, like, they were regular, and I used to watch music videos every day, and I would not leave for elementary school until they played the Hit Me Baby One More Time music video. And then, like, all summer, like, we watched TRL every day. My mom would make me change it for number three, which would always be Eminem or Limp Bizkit because they were not appropriate for my eyeballs. And then I'd have to switch back because the Backstreet Boys would always be number one.
Oh my gosh, no, NSYNC was, but that's fine.
That's false.
No,
Loved it. I loved TRL.
I love TRL too, and I would actually unfortunately have to go over to my neighbor's house to watch it.
It was so good.
Ugh.
Carson Daly. I like Remember when he like disappeared and then he's like, no, what do you mean? I've always been here.
No?
I feel like he disappeared for a few years, or maybe I just lost him.
I think you may
But
have
then he
awesome.
just came back and he was
Yeah,
everywhere again.
he's like on the Today Show every single day for like
He
10
was
years.
gone for a few years in my early 20s, I feel like.
Maybe. I don't know. A lot of those folks are, but now they're all on 90s at on 9 on XM. So, whatever.
There you go. Man, what a trip down memory lane this has been.
What a trip.
Should we go through down another trip now?
No.
You're not ready. You were ready,
I
and then
was
I
ready.
distracted you, and now
Yeah.
you're not ready again.
You're gonna crush my soul. My soul is gonna be crushed. It's gonna be in pieces.
Why are you experiencing something called The Shining?
I
Can
am.
you read my mind?
Shine on. You have the
So,
shine. I have the shine. Or just foreshadowing is really what I have.
many moons ago, who knows how many, Caitlin and I decided to do a blind date with a book.
You heard mine last episode.
Yeah, shark heart.
Shark bait. Hoo ha ha.
And
Liked that book.
I
Do you recall?
you're cute, you're cute. And so mine was The Shining. That's what I picked. Caitlin thought she made it obvious when she was reading me 0 stars review. I don't think she realized I've never even seen the movie. Like, I know nothing about this.
You knew it was about a hotel. No?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, well, I knew it was like set at the hotel.
Okay.
Fun fact, when I was in high school, me and my friends said we went and spent the night at each other's house, as one does. And then we just drove up to Estes Park and went and ran amok in the Stanley Hotel.
All night?
Basically, well, the time to drive there and then drive back by morning.
Oh my gosh, did you see anything? Anything
There
weird?
was some like randomly placed furniture, but I don't know, nothing too weird. But honestly, like if you were there on June 16th, 2006, and you heard crazy things, it was probably my friend and I running down the hallways. There was no security. We were just in there.
Every time I've tried to go up there, something bad has happened.
That's a sign.
Yeah.
That's a sign.
I stopped trying. The last time that I tried to go up there, I think it was 2012, and all of that flooding happened in Estes Park. And I was like, this is it. I'm done. I am not trying to go to this hotel anymore because something is telling me not to go to this freaking hotel. I had an entire trip planned for my husband's birthday. And his birthday happens to be in spooky season in October, and all of the roads to Estes Park completely flooded, and we could not go up there, and all of the roads were washed out. So that was the last time that I
I
attempted
mean,
up there.
I will say, I once went on a vacation that had so many bad signs to me, and it did not end well at all. So if you are ever getting bad vacation vibes, listen,
Don't go.
don't go.
Don't
Just don't
go.
do it.
No. So we won't try and go up there anytime soon. You know, it was like over 10 years ago, but that's fine. It's still probably the same. So anyway, you were tasked with reading The Shining by Stephen King.
I had a hard time. So first of all,
Okay.
this was many moons ago.
I don't have enough wine.
Go get more wine.
I'm good.
Okay.
Just make
Like we decided this before the Tortured Poets Department came out.
correct.
And so obviously I cannot read anything during that time. Like, I feel like I had it from the library once, and that 3 week cycled by and it got taken back. Then it finally came again, and I was like, I'm not letting this lapse again. We have to record it. You want to know the other thing that got me through?
What?
Taylor Swift is a Stephen King fan.
I didn't know that.
There is a very, very strange Stephen Colbert appearance that she had 3 years ago now, I want to say. Don't quote me on that because I don't remember. But this was before 1989 came out, Taylor's version. This was before Speak Now, Taylor's version. I think this was before Red, Taylor's version. And so she did some weird things. So obviously before Midnights, even. This was so long ago. So she did some weird things where she had announced Red was coming out. And then she like posted a glitch TikTok that was like, oh, when Red TV is announced, and you but you can't stop thinking about 1989. And it was just really weird. But she went on, like, it's almost her most weird and awkward appearance ever. Ever. I'll have to send it to you because it's so weird. But she, like, makes a vision board and she's, like, talking about Stephen
Oh,
Colbert
I remember this.
with,
Now
like,
that you
the
say the vision
pizza.
board. Yes.
Yes. And she's, like, talking about the address of his office and his social security number and all this stuff. And he thinks, or he's joking that he thinks her song, Hey Stephen, is written about him. And she goes, no, like, I don't usually confirm or deny who my songs are about, but I'm going to tell you it's not about you. I wrote about Stephen King. And she said it was about him. And so, like, I even went down a rabbit hole of trying to find, like, connections for Stephen King stuff to her. And it was just interesting, but like she did specifically mention The Shining and The Stand and all sorts of stuff. Like she's a Stephen King fan. So that's how I also tried to motivate myself to read this because I just wasn't in the mood. I
Yeah.
tend to save my Stephen Kings for spooky season, September or October. I got a 2 month Stephen King span. Okay. It is spring, summer, like it's that wonderful transition period of both. Like I'm vibing, I'm getting so many vitamin D and blonder, all these things. I did not want to go be locked in a hotel in the winter with impassable roads. I just left that time of my life.
No, that's
Want to avoid
unfortunate. I
that.
think it was a
So
bad time. I hope it was a bad time.
the timing was off. The timing was off.
Do you think you would have liked it if you had read it in September or October? I know that's a hard question.
It's a hard question. It's a hard question. I don't know if the timing had been different, it would have worked out. Sometimes you think, that the goddess of timing finds you beguiling and swears that she's trying, but Peter, was she lying? My ribs get the feeling she is. All that to say, sorry, I can't help myself sometimes with the Taylor lyrics. All that to say is like sometimes you know the timing is off, and so you wait, and then finally the timing is right, and it's still not good.
I mean, it was in the cards. You spontaneously chose that based off of the 1-star reviews that I had given.
I know. I know.
So I feel like maybe you probably wouldn't have even liked it in the fall. So, okay. Was it the climate, the impassable roads, the
Oh, God. Do
what
you
was
want me
it?
to eviscerate this book? I
I
don't know.
do. I really want to hear it because I need to know. I need to know. I knew that you were going to hate
So, I will debunk one theory that crossed my mind already about why I didn't like it,
Okay.
and that is the audiobook factor, which I guess I won't say completely debunked. I have not been vibing as hard with audiobooks this entire year.
Okay.
I don't know if my mindset is not there. I don't know. I have not been vibing that much with any audiobook. even if I like them, like I haven't hated them all, I haven't loved any of them, if that makes sense. And so I just don't think my focus is there audibly. But on the other hand, I think every single Stephen King book I've read, except for 11/22/63, has been on audiobook. So I don't think that was the sole reason, because I have loved plenty of audiobooks by Stephen King. I will say I was never, ever, ever, ever once like scared or like freaked out or anything. I was uncomfortable a lot, and that was less with the little Sixth Sense boy in my mind.
Danny.
The Danny. It was less with him and more, with the angry rageaholic dad. I will say that, like, that was part of the huge thing that I did not like about it, is that this guy is a raging alcoholic who's flying off the handle all the time. And yes, he's trying to do better, but then he does the exact same shit he's always done. And they're like, oh, it's the hotel. It's the hotel. I'm like, you guys, it's not the hotel.
Spoiler alert.
There's this fun quote: when people show you who you are, who they are, believe them.
What a bummer.
I know. I did also have some hard times with Danny, and I tried really to logic my way into accepting him, but he is like the same age as my children, basically. At least one of them.
Yeah.
They're not all the exact same age because they
No,
are
they're
twins.
not.
But he's like supposed to be like just precocious. And like I get that he has The Shining, which is his whole mind reading ability thing, or like his psychic abilities and understanding that. I could see how that might change a child's personality. There was nothing about him that was childlike and being 5 or 6 years old. Nothing. Nothing. Those kids still like to screw off and have fun. There was nothing about that for him. And I would try to convince myself, I'm like, you know what? He's had a traumatic life. He's had a dad who broke his arm, who he still loves. Like, I get that. I get still loving someone who's physically abusive towards you. I mean, I don't get that, but I get that. It's understanding, but I don't get a 6-year-old who is literally just so mature because of all the murder he randomly sees.
Well, yes and no. Like, I mean, I've definitely known some kids that are a little bit too grown beyond their years because of the shit that they've seen.
Usually, yes, so usually it is a very traumatic thing, the kids who are wise beyond their years and old souls, if you will. But I also like it's not 100% of the time in my mind. Like there was nothing childlike about him. He's such a good listener. Like he's not even doing the boundary testing. He's not even doing the, I don't know. I couldn't vibe with him.
I always felt so terrible for Danny. Like in the book and in the movie, just the empathy that I had for him was just like I can't even imagine being 5 years old or 6 years old, however old he is, I can't remember, and being just so isolated. Not only isolated in the hotel, but isolated from that relationship that he's trying to have with his father, because his father's so fucked up and he still wants to try. Obviously, any child does, but he's isolated in so many different ways. And it's just this really empathetic view that I have for him. And just this, like, I just want to hold this safe space for him. And I think that's why I love that book so much, because it's just like, it's so easy to either put yourself in that position based on your own life experiences, or to understand as a parent how hard that could be for a child. I don't know. That's just my take on that.
Yeah, and I think too, when you mentioned specifically the isolation, I could see how that can certainly amplify all the things, especially trauma, for sure. I don't know. I just had such a hard time with it and with him, and like even the relationship between his parents, I couldn't get with. Like, I can get how, no matter how rocky a parent's relationship is, I can get that as a child, divorce is terrifying. I can get that. But I also didn't ever, like, really feel connected with them in that way in their relationship. And it is like, at what point, I don't know. I have a hard time like understanding that, and to not leave your husband. Like, it wasn't like the incident with him breaking their son's arm was the only incident. That was the only incident with the son, you know? And so I don't understand the saying and hoping it would be better. I do also partially understand, like, this was different times. And this is not written in the current day and age where divorce is so prevalent. But even reading this, there were lots of times when I was thinking of other Stephen King books that I did like. And that would remind me of stuff. Less about Danny's parents and more about, what's the dad's name?
Jack.
Jack Black? Nope, Jack Nichols.
Jack Torrance.
Right.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
when he was remembering his parents and how his dad randomly beat the crap out of his mom, that reminded me a lot of Dolores Claiborne.
I haven't read
And
that still.
still, that's okay.
No.
Yeah,
There's
whatever.
a lot on my TBR. I don't know if you know this.
And like, for whatever reason, like, I guess, I don't know if it's because we were more presently in that relationship and in Dolores's head, which was another like pretty physically abusive relationship and a very domestic violence situation. Like, I feel like I just was more involved with that story that I could not get with his parents, and then him just continuing that cycle, and like I just did not vibe with any of them.
Yeah. I see that. I understand that because that's hard to relate to. But I truly think that if you take a step back, you might see that this is, I don't want to say an autobiography because it's certainly not. I don't want to paint that picture, but it's no secret that he struggled with alcoholism and substance abuse for many, many, many years. And it's no secret that Jack is also an author. And it's like, I wonder how much of himself he poured into this book and into this character and into this family, and how much he thought that this could have been his life if he had made different choices. And not to say that I obviously don't know what has gone on in his private life, but I think that it's really telling of himself that there's probably a lot of realism and truth from his own experiences with his substance abuse in this, and the psychological toll that it took on himself as a husband, as a father, as all of those figures.
Do you know, because you said he is sober now, was this written pre or post?
Let me
You
look
know.
that up. I think it's post.
I will say, like, the other thing that it did make me think of, the other Stephen King book that I don't think you read, it did often make me think of Lyses. Is that Lyses? How do you say it? His wife? Lyses' story?
Lisi's story, yeah.
It made me think of that a lot. I feel like that was, of the ones I had read, one of the, like, other most supernatural stories of his that I read, and I enjoyed that one more, and that was like literally like traveling to a place and things were good and bad in there, but I feel like I just vibed with that one so much more and did feel like it was a good depiction, if that was what he wanted, of mental illness or anything, hardships.
So he, oh, this is very interesting. He quit. He became sober in between the years of 88 and 89, and The Shining came out in 1980.
Okay.
So he was very much in the thick of it, I assume, during that time. So maybe he saw a lot of himself in Jack.
Yeah. Which is an interesting thing. Like, did you know that going in before you read it, or did you like this book, find out facts kind of such as that, or like know more about his life and his own struggles, regardless of the timeline, and then like it more?
I don't think that knowing that information made me like it more or less or it changed my opinion whatsoever, but I did know that he had the substance abuse problems prior to reading the book.
Okay. And that was not really something that I ever thought about as I was reading it, even though I knew, because we've obviously talked about this before. But I don't think I was ever like, oh, writing about this and how this would affect a family life is anything I took into consideration while reading.
Yeah, let me see if he had kids when I'm assuming his kids were born already
How
because
many
I
kids
think
does he have?
he has two,
Okay.
both boys.
Okay. Really, the only thing I learned is that once Taylor Swift came into the world, he got sober.
So his other son or his first son. Oh, and actually, he has a daughter that I did not know about as well.
Carla?
Naomi.
Oh, close.
She's actually the oldest. I didn't know that he had an older daughter. Okay, interesting.
Same woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Joe Hill is the name that he goes by. He is also an author. He's actually wrote a couple of books with his dad, Sleeping Beauty being one of them. Joe Hill's most famous book, I think, is Nosferatu. I've never read it. I'm,
D2 or
huh?
nose for R2D2.
Yes. R2D2, C3PO, all of those guys. And then Owen King also is an author, but Joe Hill has a different last name because he did not want his father's name to precede him. So he chose Hill, which is his mother's maiden name.
I could not with this book. I don't, like,
Tell
so
me.
I was also never, so first of all, I was bored for 25% and kept chugging along. Like, it was so slow. Literally nothing was happening. Oh my God, it was so slow. And then I don't know if it was because of the season or because of audiobook or because of the season and the audiobook. When stuff did happen, I'd be like, oh, okay, yes. The Sixth Sense kid, that's how I thought of him the whole time, sees things in the hotel. Ooh. And so even as the bathtub lady was choking him, I was like, okay.
Bathtub lady in the movie is fucking terrifying. Terrifying.
I will 100% confirm the entire time I was reading this that like this would make a fantastic movie. Not
Completely
doing it
different.
for me as a book.
It's completely
Not.
different.
I could see how this would be scary if I was seeing it, but as I am reading it, it is not scaring me. Things felt slow a lot throughout the whole book, even like once things picked up more than the first 25%, they were still pretty slow. There were many times when I was like, oh, I have likely just tuned out a ton and missed a bunch of information. I'm sure it would be riveting right now if I had been listening. And I would rewind it and I was like, nope, heard that, nope, heard that, nope, heard that, no, oh, it was just that boring. I didn't miss anything.
This is one of his more wordier pieces.
I was bored.
I'm so sorry. I really
It
was
was
hoping
slow.
you would enjoy it. I knew you were going to hate it, but I was really hoping.
What year was this written also?
80.
80. Okay. That it makes sense. I also did not appreciate how freaking racist it was.
Yeah.
That was not fun or cool. I
Yeah.
took away. And especially 'cause that was like the most likable character. He was way cooler than Danny. I don't remember his name. I only remember Danny's name 'cause he just told me.
Oh, Mr. Oh,
I
hold
don't
on.
know, the other guy with the shining.
Yeah, no, I know.
But they were racist AF towards him, and I was not cool with that. I will say, despite how much I didn't like this, stuff such as the strength of Danny's power and other things, like I'm a teensy bit curious about Dr. Sleep. That's grown up Danny, right?
It is, and Doctor Sleep is great. The movie is great. It is.
I didn't know that there was a movie.
There is. It came out actually couple years ago. It's really good. His name is Mr. Halloran. 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 I think
Okay.
I'm saying that wrong. I don't remember Halloran. Oh, Halloran. I feel like it's different in the movie. Halloran. Yeah.
So I liked him. That was
It's great.
an interesting thing. Like just how far away he was and that he was able to hear the cry for help, but then
Oh God, I loved that part. That's I mean, that's the best part of the book, and he
yeah.
saves the whole shebang.
Yeah. And like even the people he met along the way who were like, oh, like, I don't get it, but I get what you have. I don't get it, but I'll help you because it seems like you have this understanding.
Yeah. Man.
I feel like it was just the timing was off, but I don't know. Like, it's weird. Like, I was like, I don't think I'd ever reread this again. I don't think I want to watch the movie because I feel like it would be too scary.
I think you would probably be pretty scared by the movie.
And I'm interested in the sequel, so I mean, take that how you will.
I think
I
you
feel
might like
like
Dr. Sleep.
I liked this book more than Billy Summers by a smidge. And I liked it more than the weird sister story to Dolores Claiborne. But like it's third least favorite of all the Stephen King books I've read.
I get that. Dr. Sleep was written about 10 years ago. So do with that information what you will, completely different mindset. You know, Danny being an adult,
An adult like 18 or an adult like
adult
35.
30s.
Okay. That makes a difference.
No, it does. You're right.
Taylor Swift refers to people as children when they are 25. So that's how my rating goes now.
No, it's legit, and he's like an actual adult, like bills and shit.
Thank you.
So, I like Doctor Sleep.
More than The Shining? You have a lot more empathy for Danny than I did, which it's not that I didn't have empathy for him. It was almost like I had to want to logic myself into empathy with him and being like, no, you're not connecting with him, but this is why he's the way it is, and this is why it makes sense. Like, this is so much trauma. You gotta understand. And it was like more anger at his parents, but sometimes I get that that's the vibe the author is going for, is the anger and discomfort and the horror of that life. If you, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm just kicking everything.
I think also, I think that my opinion of this may have been a little bit skewed, simply for the fact that I had watched the movie a handful of times before I actually read the book. So I had a gist of what happened, and I had a gist of, and not even a gist because they're completely different than the book. It's a completely different vibe and everything. And Stephen King actually hated the Shining movie. There's a mini series that was more in tune with his book in the 80s, but the actual Stanley Kubrick movie, he
The
absolutely
popular
hated.
one.
Popular one with Jack Nicholson.
He hated.
Shelley Duvall. He hated it.
Oh, I said Jack Nichols earlier.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall.
Did he like the miniseries more?
He did. I believe that he wrote that, though. He
Oh, have you watched both?
I have not watched the miniseries. I don't even know where to find the miniseries. I'm sure it's in the depths of YouTube somewhere. But my husband has seen it, and he's talked about it, and he loves both the book and the movie.
Another question that you may or may not know. Has he, for his entire career, done the thing where he loves aspiring artists and will like sell the rights to his works in film or TV for like 25 cents or whatever,
Yeah,
his the
dollar.
whole time?
I'm pretty sure. Like ever since he became pretty mainstream and popular.
Okay, so, oh, does he usually give such strong opinions? He hates the interpretation of them.
No, and that's what was so weird about it. I think it's just because it was so different, but I think it was so good in its own regard.
It's hard. Like, I obviously haven't seen it, but the entire time I was reading, I was like, this would make an excellent film.
Yeah. And it's, I think honestly that maybe my opinion may have been a little bit more in line with yours if I hadn't have seen the movie first. Because when I'm reading the book, I'm literally picturing every single character from the film. I'm picturing Danny. I'm picturing just how empty his eyes look and just how sad and forlorn he is, and all of this sad, very empathetic feelings that you can pick up on this poor little isolated child. And I'm picturing Shelley Duvall playing his wife, and how well, and I know a lot of interesting facts about that, and how Stanley Kubrick fucked with her so badly and made her retake the famous It's Johnny scene.
It's Johnny, not here's Johnny.
Or here's Johnny, excuse me, here's
Okay.
Johnny.
I was waiting for that line the entire book and it never came.
That's a movie. That's a movie scene.
Yeah.
It's not in the book at all. But here's Johnny is it, I think that they did like 156 takes or something like that. And she had to be at that like level of fear and anxiety for every single one. And the final take, which is what is in the movie, it's just her sh just sheer exhaustion and just her frustration and just not even wanting to do it anymore, but still doing it. They withheld food from Jack Nicholson so that he would be more aggressive and just hangry. And it's
Was
not
the
very
movie made in
funny.
the 80s too?
Yeah.
Was so question. Has he spelled out explicitly why he doesn't like it, or is there a possibility that he doesn't like it because it was better?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had actually Googled when the movie came out. The movie came out in 80s or in 1980.
Okay.
The book was released in 77. So one of his boys was about Danny's age. And then he was not sober yet still. So,
Okay.
but yeah, 1980. And
So why does he hate the movie?
I forget. I would have to look it up again, but there was
Because it's
several.
better. There were several reasons.
I would be pissed.
Off of my head. I would be pissed if I wrote this novel and poured my heart into it, and then I watched a movie and I was like, oh shit, all the changes they made. Should have thought of that.
Let's see. The author complained that Nicholson's version of the character was observably crazy from the beginning, and he just gets worse as the film goes on. Jack Torrance has no arc in the movie, is what he said. King also disliked what Kubrick did to the character of Wendy, played by Shelley Duvall, which is what I was telling you about with the multiple takes and everything. He also did that with the actor that played Danny, and Danny actually quit acting for
Yeah, I bet.
a long time. And I think the only time that he came back was in Doctor Sleep.
That's really interesting because I wonder if the intent was very different than the actual portrayal and what came off. Because, from my understanding, just based on that little amount, it sounds like Jack was pretty true to how it was written. In my opinion, because that's how I took it, he was crazy from the beginning. He was absolutely crazy the entire time. And so for him to like think that the portrayal like that was instantaneous, like I feel like you didn't write it well enough. Like I feel like you had hoped that people would be like, oh, his past didn't define who he was and who he was trying to change, and that people would have had more empathy for him, and he would have been a changed, completely changed character from his past to his present to the hotel. And I feel like I was reading that. I did not like, no, this is all the same person. You blaming it on the hotel is absolutely insane. I never once thought he was a good or like better dad at any point.
The hotel, I think, exacerbated it, and it made
Yeah.
it 1,000 times worse.
Oh, and that I can get, but I didn't ever think he was a great dad who had turned his life around. And
No,
so
I think that that's maybe what he wanted to do
yeah.
internally, but he wasn't doing it.
And I think maybe just considering with where he was in life and wanting that to be, I could see how it could feel like a personal attack even in all this stuff with his own struggles. Like, so it's just so much to layer upon that. And so when you see the interpretation, which it sounds like the movie interpretation was my interpretation of the book too, and then him being mad about that, like I can see how if you do make it so autobiographical, unintentionally even, or even if that's something you want to admit to yourself, and then how people interpret that is the worst case scenario and not what you wanted at all, like I would be pissed too.
Yeah. I think I think he's projecting a lot onto Stanley Kubrick and just how it was made, but I think that they're great works of art in their own sense, and I definitely think that I see exactly what you're saying because it was slow. It was slow AF, and you know that I struggle with a slow AF book.
Yeah.
But because I was already familiar with these characters from the movie, even if it wasn't the exact same thing, I was still familiar enough with these characters that I kind of knew where the story was heading, and I knew that just stay with it. It'll all work itself out in the end and just keep going. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. But I also get it. It's a tough read. It's wordy. It's long.
Yeah, wordy, boring. I had thought I would be scared at some point, and I literally never was.
You didn't put it in the freezer?
I did not put it in the freezer.
Even
It
more.
was very much like, oh, spooky boy at spooky hotel sees spooky things. Ooh, so spooky.
Sixth Sense boy.
The Sixth Sense boy. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bummer.
I know.
Should we do blind
But
the book again?
we should, because this was a hoot.
It was, even if you didn't like it.
Even if I didn't like, it's so hard. I won't watch the movie because I don't like movies and I don't like scary movies. And I fully admit the movie will be scary even if the book was not.
No,
I
the
believe that.
movie is absolutely way more scary, especially the old
I
lady scene.
didn't hate it enough that I'm uninterested in the sequel. So that's the thing.
Maybe physically read that in October.
Maybe. I did, like, I did many times wonder. I'm like, if I was reading this, would I be more scared? Would I be more in tune to these characters?
I physically read it. I don't think it was as scary as one might think it is. So,
As Joey Tribbiani might think it is.
yeah. I don't know
Do
why
you
that.
think that he put the book in the freezer as she was coming out of the bathtub?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because I don't feel like there's anything scary enough to cause that type of reaction other than that.
That's fair. I will say another thing that I've mentioned multiple times in this episode that I struggled with is that I just had a hard time taking this book at face value on its own. And I kept comparing it to other things. For example, I compared many of the like mental health struggles to Lisey's song. I compared many of the domestic violence issues to Dolores Claiborne. But even furthermore, like just the whole trope, if you will, of isolated, stranded, closed room mystery, if you will, like that. Like I was thinking about, gosh, I cannot remember the name of book. Maybe His and Hers by Alice Feeney.
I haven't read
Maybe
that.
that's right. But it was like very much like, oh, stuck in a old abandoned hotel situation and very creepy things happen. Like, I was even just reminded of that like specific trope of just like very isolated, closed door. There's only so many like suspects, even though it wasn't like a murder mystery. There was obviously like weird, mysterious things happening. And so like I just felt myself comparing to other books that I've read with that same situation. And it was almost like I just didn't ever feel the creepy factor. I don't know.
Could you, did the isolation bother you?
No.
No, see, that was one of my biggest things that I, the maybe it wasn't necessarily a creep factor, but it was certainly something psychological in me that was like, oh yeah, there's like no emergency services anywhere. Nothing works. Like, you don't have
And
phone.
I think that's part of the problem that I expected it to more. Like even that book that we read that we didn't love by that guy who wrote that, Alex Michaelides,
Oh,
The Fury. Like
Fury.
it's almost like the same kind of like it's isolation,
Yeah.
stuck there, weird things happening, can't get off the island, can't get help fast. And so I mean, that book wasn't creepier, but I have read creepier books with the same situation. This just, like, it didn't do it for me. I was never once creeped out. I was like, the only time I was really uncomfortable was with the relationship and the rage. It was never the isolation. It was never the creepy things in the hotel.
Yeah.
And I can do supernatural. Like, supernatural is fine for me, and I just didn't feel it in this one.
I get it. I do. There's zero things that I can
Like, is your heart broken by my thoughts?
No, it's expected. No, it's not broken. Like you were telling me at lunch that you were foreshadowing and telling me that you recommended a book to somebody that was your favorite book of all time, and they came back to you and were like, "I hate this book." And I was like, "Oh, she's gonna break my heart tonight." So I prepared for it.
Oh, that wasn't even the thing I was thinking about. I didn't think that was it. I wasn't trying to,
Seasonal
that
stuff.
really
Yeah.
happened. That broke my heart. I
No, that
thought
was
it
the
was.
foreshadowing that got me.
I thought it was when I was talking about, like, the mood reading and, like, do you hate books more if you don't read them in
I picked up
season?
on that one too, but it was more so the it's your favorite book and you recommended it to me and now I'm gonna crush you and tell you that it doesn't that I don't like it and ah!
It happens.
It does.
I feel like I should read you what he said to me because it was probably hilarious. Much nicer than anything I, no, much meaner than anything I said tonight for sure. Like, almost hilarious. So, one of my favorite books of all time is You Feel It Just Below the Ribs, which is a, actually written by two authors who also have a podcast who go into it. And it's just so good. I loved it so much. And I recommended it to one of my friends and they hated it. Hated it, hated it, hated it. And so randomly, the day before my birthday of all days, I get a text from the person I told to read my favorite book, which is like dystopia, but it also has feeling and depth. And I just loved everything about this book. I get a text out of the blue that says, "I'm mad at you." I say, "Why?" "Because that book you recommended suck sucks." "Which book?" "You Feel It Just Below the Ribs or some shit." And then I get mad and I'm in all caps. "You hated one of my favorite books? Are you for real?" And I say, "I'm so mad at you." He goes, "Man, I like every book I read, but I can't stand that thing the whole time. The format, the story, sheesh, I hated it." Like, what? Literally, what happened? Nothing. And I was like, the formatting was incredible. The story and the world and everything was just crazy, so good. And he sends me side eye and just tells me how Wow.
much he hates it.
That's way mean.
It was me. It broke my heart. I still love that book.
I had to go back real quick to the 1-star reviews from The Shining. I came across this one that was added after we had recorded our blind date with a book picks. This girl put, "Years later, a friend reminded me that when reading this, I'd sent this message. Bad news, my car is broken down. Good news, I always have a book with me. Bad news, the first sentence I turned to is about worries of being stranded by the side of the road. Worse news, it's my first Stephen King." So, Patricia says, how is this book so popular? It's boring as fuck."
Confirmed, Patricia,
Oh, I
confirmed.
think that this is the 1-star review that sold it for you. "Custodial staff of one percenter resort commits a grave breaches of employment agreement, including fraternization, by failing to keep grounds free and clear of supernatural deterioration." Might be it sounds familiar.
No, that is literally it. That's
Is it
100%
okay?
it.
it's so funny because I had no idea, and I feel like I would love that stuff. I love Supernatural. I love.
Nastia rated it 1 star, one of the best horror books, my ass. I prefer Shelley Duvall. Stop giving this man typewriters, Jesus.
Who uses typewriters anyway?
Jack Torrance.
That was a Taylor Swift reference, but thank
Oh,
you.
sorry. I was like,
Okay.
come on, we just read this.
You left your typewriter at my apartment, straight from the tortured poet's department. I think some things I never say, like who uses typewriters anyway?
Scariest part of this book was the use of the N-word and other racial slurs.
Confirmed. Confirmed. I was horrified.
Yeah. Why the fuck did I finish this 16-hour audiobook that I didn't even like? Seriously, what the fuck?
That was my issue. Found it.
Oh my gosh. This, you will love this review by Lisa here from 2013. It's not good when at page 60 you can predict the ending. Too predictable. Little Women is far more freezer worthy. And that concludes my reading of Goodreads 1 star reviews for The Shining.
That 100% is going to be my next blind date with a book for you.
Oh, fuck, dude. I already read The Little Women, I
Oh,
think.
did
I feel
you?
like I did. My grandma, I feel like she made me read it. I
And
don't think I
you
finished it.
didn't love it, not like Lindsay.
No.
You
God,
know
no.
Lindsay used Hooked on Phonics, right?
I did.
Did
Maybe that's why
you
she
use Hooked on Phonics?
No.
Maybe you missed the comprehension lesson about why Little Women and the one lady who gets mad, Pride and Prejudice. I was like, the Prejudice daughter. It's not the Prejudice daughter.
Jane Austen? That lady. That's the
Okay.
one.
I can't drink any more wine. Wow. Falling apart.
Wow.
The Prejudice daughter. No, Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice, Mr. Darcy, and just going to people's houses all the time.
Little Prejudice Women.
I don't think that's a good book at all.
Really, says the girl who recommended The Shining.
Listen, I did not write
Okay.
it.
Books are a hoot.
They are many hoodles. Kimmy also gives The Shining 1 star. It is appropriate
I do give it
that
one star.
I had you choose 1 star reviews for this book. That I'm going to choose 5 star next time.
Probably more wisdomous.
Maybe I'll choose 3 star. Middle of the road. I'm not going to oversell, not going to undersell, not going to sell at all. I'm just going to be. That was very poetic.
Just be, girl.
Yep. It's a vibe.
Well, I can't wait, personally.
Yeah, we'll have to do that again soon. And I probably won't even put any Stephen King in there next time.
You don't want your heart broken again. I might put
No!
some Stephen King because I need you to read some of the ones I've read that I
Oh,
went
I
way
do.
off script for.
Hey, I
But
told you I was going to read Dark Matter for finally.
I
Because we're
will
going to do an
hold my
episode.
breath.
It's because we're going to do an episode on it. Spoiler alert.
Yay! Finally. Finally. Can't wait.
All right, I think we're done here.
Bye
Cry
now.
myself to sleep.
Stop it. What a
Right.
hoot. Well, thanks for listening to us talk
A lot.
as we do.
That's what we tend to do.
If you're going to read Stephen King, probably don't start with The Shining.
Definitely don't start with The Shining, but if you're curious as to what to start with, go back in our episode log and look for
A complete guide to Stephen King.
Beginner's
That's
Guide
pretty
to
incomplete.
Stephen
Oh,
King.
beginner's guide, not complete
Yeah.
guide. It's not very complete.
Beginner's Guide to Stephen King is our episode. I think it was like in 2021, so you have to scroll back a little bit. But Yeah. Rough.
Goodbye now. Goodbye now. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye now.
Where the fuck is end?
We hope that you enjoyed this week's episode of the Lost Chill Podcast. Please help our podcast to reach more listeners by subscribing and leaving a review. We read every single one together and jump up and down, screaming with glee every single time. So you know we just truly appreciate it. And that is a true story, folks.
It's very true. If you can't get enough of the Lost Chill Podcast, check out our website, thelostchill.com, for blog posts and more fun. Also, consider becoming a Patreon supporter for exclusive content and swag. We are constantly improving and growing our offerings, so be sure to check back often.
If it's additional reviews and cute puppies that you're after, follow us on Instagram at Katie's Lost Chill and at Kimmy's Lost Chill. Follow The Lost Chill as well to get all of the latest information on upcoming books to be featured, upcoming author chats, giveaways, and so much more.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.
Bye.
Aww.